Wednesday night, Krug Chapman extravaganza. We have moved it from Saturday to Wednesday at 7:15. Tell a friend. Off and running on the Krug Show, Wednesday night. It is May 13th, 7:32 West Coast, 10:32 back East. Welcome to the Krug Show. We're brought to you by Pickin' a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California is Pickin' a Pickle. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week. They're also open in Petaluma. Great spot. Pickin' a Pickle is a fantastic spot. And what can I say? I mean, it's they're great sponsors of the Krug Show. We think highly
solid
of them.
Solid brisket. I'm a Texan. Solid brisket.
Seriously, what is the key? Now, is there such a thing as Texas barbecue?
Oh, yes.
Know, there's Kansas City barbecue. There's Texas barbecue. How would you separate or how would you differentiate Texas barbecue?
It's about to be a 2-hour show, Larry. Come on, man. I went to grad school in Kansas City, grew up in Texas. Those are like my two loves, man. So Texas dry rub German brisket. Slow cook. That's kind of the thing that they do. Slow smoke. That's what it is. Kansas City, all about that sauce, burning ribs. That's what they got. Both are incredible. And to be honest with you, I prefer Kansas City, but man, I would fight a baby for some Texas barbecue at any point right now. I'm being very, very honest with you.
Where do you start? Is it brisket? Is it ribs? Is it chicken? Is it, you know, pulled pork? What exactly is at the front of the line? And when you go brisket, there's the marbled side, and then there's the, what's the other word for it?
The lean.
Lean side? Yeah.
No. Come on, man. You've seen me. That ain't my jam. No. So brisket, I think, is the truest measure if you are a barbecue, like, it's the best of the best, right? It's the hardest to do. But if you're in Kansas City, man, you go to Joe's, oh, man, on 95th Street, come on now.
Okay.
It's the best ribs probably in the country. They're incredible. So Texas brisket, if you're in Kansas City, you got to do the burn-ins just because they kind of started that. But ribs and burn-ins in Kansas City. But yeah, man, dude, you're getting me pumped, dude. There's few things better than barbecue. 49ers football is one of them. But, you know, they're close.
Well, I wanted to promote this for our friend Damon Stainbrook. He's got a thing going on in Emeryville where one of his friends is going to be there doing an event in Emeryville. And you guys should all check that out. If you're in Emeryville tonight, I believe at Pickin' a Pickle in Emeryville, they got an author there who's got a baseball book, and he's going to be talking tonight at Emeryville. So, I just got a picture. Oh my gosh. I just got a picture of a lot of the chicken in the smoker. Oh my goodness. He just sent me a picture from the event. So thanks to Pickin' a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. We love barbecue and we love Pickin' a Pickle. So thanks to them. Also, of course, the Krug Show is brought to you by our good friends at Prize Picks. America's number one sports picks app. Prize Picks is super simple. You just pick more or less on player stats or even game outcomes and build your lineup. It's available in most states, including California. So if you haven't checked it out yet, use code HMA when you play $5. You'll get $50 in lineups, and it will happen instantly. And we will do a lineup here in a bit. All right. Before we get to that, though, we want to start tonight with Jason Lockenfora has linked the 49ers to A.J. Brown. He says the 49ers, who at some point will part with AWOL receiver Brandon Ayuk, have a very high payroll as it stands, and their cap space has been an issue. I don't know what that means because they've got the most cap space in football. But even with Mike Evans, there could make a case for Brown, especially with some of the recent injuries with some of their top pass catchers. So he's floating, and God, it's a really poorly worded report there by Jason Lockenfora.
He's consistent, at least in his reports. That seems to come across all of them.
I mean, that is crazy. I mean, I'm not the Warner's, Warner's guide to the proper English, but I mean, that doesn't seem right at all. Anyway, A.J. Brown to the Niners, and I've read more about this. You know, I just gave you guys that, but there's talk that a lot of speculation that A.J. Brown's going to be traded from the Eagles to the Patriots. But there's also speculation that maybe that is not a done deal. And that this article, basically, by Lock and Forest, says that, that they may want a player and a pick coming back for A.J. Brown. What do you think? I mean, the Niners and Eagles got together. John Lynch and Howie Roseman did a deal for Bryce Huff. Do the 49ers have a player that, if combined with a draft choice, that would be would make the Eagles want to trade them A.J. Brown? I mean, like, would Renardo Green and a 2027 draft choice for A.J. Brown move the needle? Would a Ricky Pearsall and a 2027 draft choice move the needle? I don't know. I mean, what do you think of this report? Lock and Fora, his hit rate's pretty low overall.
It's very low.
It's not like, hey, Jason Lock and Fora said it. Take it to the bank, you know. But it is interesting. AJ Niners clearly have made wide receiver the big deal, right? I mean, look at the way what was their biggest free agent? Mike Evans. What's their biggest draft choice? Deshaun Stribling. Both their biggest assets they have spent on wide receivers. So there is no doubt that as far as they're concerned, wide receiver was a problem. And blocking at wide receiver also is considered a problem. A.J. Brown is a big physical receiver. Mike Evans is a big physical receiver. What do you think? Is it possible that the 49ers are not done yet? Mayoko says that he thinks they could still make some moves. A.J. Brown to the Niners for a veteran and a pick. Would you do it? Should they do it? What do you think?
A.J. Brown's a stud. Like you have to start there. Like, if you could add playmakers at, you know, the third most valuable position now in the NFL, it goes quarterback, edge, wide receiver. That's the pecking order of premium positions with what they get paid. He's incredible. The problem is that you already addressed the X position not once, but twice. You know, Mike Evans, the most X wide receiver of all X wide receivers. And then you go get Deshaun Stribling. He's going to be an X factor into that role as well. So are the 49ers better with A.J. Brown? Yes. That answer, yes.
You know, maybe I should try to influence John as he's speaking. Oh. Let me see if I can influence John. There you go.
Bring it on, buddy. Bring it on.
That? You know, do you see?
He's a stud, dude. And he's had some of his AJ best
Brown
games.
AJ Brown wearing 11.
He's a stud, dude. I'm just saying. And I don't have a problem with the locker room issues, whatever else. I don't think that's ever really impacted his play on the field. I think that he is consistently a stud in this league, and I think he's great.
What are the issues, by the way? I mean,
he reads on the sideline.
I know he brought a book. He brought a book on the sideline, and they made a big deal about that in Philly. But is there other issues besides that? It seems like there's a Sirianni AJ Brown problem.
There's a Sirianni everybody problem. And so, like, there's a video where they're walking into the locker room after a win, and Sirianni's doing basically his coke fueled rant or whatever the hell he does. And you see AJ Brown just like rolling his eyes, like, what the hell's wrong with this guy? Like, he's just a weird cat, man. It's just what it is. So, and AJ's weird too, but I don't think that anywhere he has been, anybody's had problems with what he does on the field. Like, he should never be mentioned in the same breath as Brandon Ayuk. One, he's a better player. They went in different ways. The problem is, I think that the Patriots deal is basically going to be for a 2028 first rounder. How do you beat that? Are you willing to pay more for that?
Do you believe that?
I do. I really think
you really think they would give a 28 first round pick for AJ Brown? Really?
I do. I think it's going to be done. Wow. And I mean, if anybody had the inside track on that whole thing, it's Diane Rossinian. She seemed pretty confident in it. So, like, I'm going to trust her sources.
Why did you think she's got that? Sources within the walls of the Patriots?
Just a little bit. just a little bit. But, like, and so can you beat that trade, right? Can you offer more? Does Renardo Green and a 2028 second? I don't think that's more. So are you going to give up a 2028 first? I don't know. Either.
Wait a second. I think that is more.
You do?
I mean, you could have the Patriots are going to pick they're going to be one of the better teams in the AFC. They're going to pick, let's say, 25 to 32 in that range. And you could have the Niners' second round pick and Renardo Green, who was a second round pick. I think that's, you don't think Renardo Green at this point, still on the rookie deal, as young as he is, with a second round pick, or is better than a
2 years. It's not a bad trade.
It's close.
But man, if you get that first rounder from the NFL, covets first rounders, and the Eagles do too. And I think that the Eagles would prefer to trade him to the AFC instead of a contender that just knocked him out of the playoffs. I think that there's something for that as well. I don't think the 49ers are really in on this trade just because they have the redundancy with Stribling and Mike Evans and Jordan Watkins, you know, in the wings. They have 3X wide receivers. So if you didn't land Evans, if you didn't draft Stribling, then yes, I think that this is a conversation that they would have to do. But I'll say this. Jason Lockenfora may have inside sources. He has none with the 49ers and has struck out swinging multiple times with any take that he has on the red and gold. So I think it's interesting. And this time of year, yeah, we get to entertain some of this stuff and it's fun. I just don't see the 49ers even being involved in this conversation. But A.J. Brown's a stud, and he makes all 32 teams better, no matter what team he goes to.
It is definitely go time for the Niners. And I hit on this on the radio. This is the go year for the regime. I mean, let's be honest about that. I mean, yes, it's not like the team's going to disintegrate next year, the upcoming season. But Trent Williams ain't getting better, and neither's Bosa, and neither's Kittle, and neither's McCaffrey, and neither's Greenlaw, and neither's Lenore, and neither's Warner. Do you see where I'm going on this? And Brock Purdy's in his super prime, and they just had two volume drafts, and you brought in Raheem Morris to quarterback the defense, and he's really, really impressive, by the way. I got to just tell you, he's very impressive guy. It's go time for the regime. They've got two volume drafts back to back. You got Seattle just won the Super Bowl. The Rams are futzing around with their future at quarterback. It's now. It is now. And it may be now or never for this current group. I'm not saying it's now or never for Lynch and Shanahan, but it may be now or never for the rest of those leaders of this football team. And Mike Evans was not a move that screams the future. It screams the present. And I don't want to see them roll over $70+ million in a year where they got to go for it. And so I want to see them, you know, spend some of that money. We're going to get into where I want them to spend it. But first, let me share the screen. John Chapman, JL Chapman. If we go to this tweet, he says, remember when the 49er schedule comes out tomorrow to come party with the 49er Rush road trip. Games we will be 100% at this season include Australia for the Rams, Mexico City for the Vikes, Dallas for the Cowboys, Kansas City for the Chiefs, Atlanta for the Falcons. Events are already up for purchase. Just ignore the dates at 49erRushRoadTrip.com. And look at these drunkards.
Oh, man, we have a good time, baby. We have a good time. So, yeah, tickets are up right now. So we do a day before.
I got to rewind this little bit.
Oh, here we go. We're doing it. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with Tick Pick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the Tick Pick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Nice.
Oh, I'm so pumped, man. It's good. Like, the Niners are traveling way too much, but there's some badass cities. It's some great venues. Man, we're going to be having a great time. So 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go check it out now. Sites live. We may add a couple more games depending on how the schedule falls, but all of those cities, 100% we're going to be at. Those tickets are up now for purchase day before, and all-inclusive tailgate. It's going to be a good time, Larry.
Well, it looks like a good time. It definitely looks like a good time. And we know you guys do it up big. So everybody check out what John's got going. And once again, give the site. If people want to go check that out, Johnny, where's the best place to go?
49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
49ersRushRoadTrip.com. All right. The Niners have $71 million in cap room. And I know they want to roll it over, but the cap also goes up. So they want to roll it over because they're going to have cap shortfalls most likely in 27 and 28. So I get that. And I understand why they want to roll it over. I want them to spend some of that because I think, as I just said, this is go time for the regime. You added a bunch of new players. I counted, actually, believe it or not, 40 new players. 40. Now I call Jordan Watkins a new player. I'm calling Jordan James a new player. You know, guys who basically are on the team, but they haven't done anything yet. Jacob Cowing is a new player. There's 40 new players. That's how many new young players that they have on their draft, either via trade draft or guys that they've picked up in the last year that just haven't done anything. They got 40 new players. They've got Purdy in the prime. They've got all kinds of guys in what I would call the twilight of their prime. And when you have that kind of structure, I think you got to go for it. And I really believe they ought to spend some money. Now, I think they had to go after Joey Bosa. And I looked into it. I did a video on it this week. Joey Bosa would be better than what they got. There's just no doubt in my mind. He would be a better addition than what they have. They need a guy who's versatile. They need a guy who can play a bunch of different spots. They need somebody who could be a 3-4 run defender with this, you know, stand-up rusher. If they want to go with 3-4 fronts, they need somebody who can be a 4-3 defensive end. They really, to me, could use another body there. They're far deeper at defensive tackle than they are at defensive end. So I'm going to share the screen. I think they ought to go for Joey Bosa. Listen to what Mayoko, who is very piped in with the Niners, I just think he knows things. Here, listen to what he said about this.
I really think, you know, there is the possibility they're keeping the door open to add any number of veteran players, but it has to be the right fit. It has to be the right price. And I'm not sure at this point if there's really any position other than one that I would still consider a need. And the reason I would consider this one position a need is because there's really not a whole lot of room for error. And I'm talking specifically about edge rusher. I think they're fine when it comes to just kind of the meat and potatoes defensive linemen that they have. You know, I would consider Mykel Williams one of those players, you know, out of that Eric Armstead mold where you set the edge in the run game on base downs. You move inside and rush the passer in nickel situations. So Mykel Williams might be out for the first four games of the season. We'll see. We have an indication as time goes on, the reports coming out of the rookie camp where that, you know, he looked like he's making good progress coming off the ACL injury that he sustained in week 9 of last season. But where I think the 49ers still have some question marks would be at just getting after the quarterback, and it's specifically the edge rushers getting after the quarterback.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel, pick up the kids, they're out of school, adventure, it's all out there. For others, juggling it can be tough and can lead to being overwhelmed and counting down the minutes until the kids are back in school. And many worry they're wasting their days of sunshine. Well, therapy can help better understand their needs. Feel more confident about setting boundaries. Create a version of summer that actually feels good. And with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works. Their average rating is 4.9 out of 5 for live sessions based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. And they do all the initial matching work with you for the therapist. Short questionnaire helps identify your needs, your preferences, and over 12 years of experience in the industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. But if you're not happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from all of the tailored recommendations. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy, sign up, and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. As someone who travels nonstop for sporting events at the 49ers Rush Road Trip, I can tell you one of the most difficult things is the logistics. Finding out where to stay, how to get there, the timing, how to get your whole group, everything all together. Well, Outdoorsy solves all of these problems. And thousands of RVs and campers nationwide are available right wherever you are. And there's so many ways you could do it. You could drive the RV yourself, you can tow it, or you can have it delivered and have it fully set up at your destination. It's so simple. It's three easy steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. You book with confidence. It comes with insurance, customer support, protection, all that's included. Then you hit the road or arrive and relax. Whether you're driving, towing, getting it delivered, it doesn't matter. And so for sporting events, you want to go check out the World Cup this summer. You're wanting to, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. It doesn't matter what you want or need. They have you covered. So right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed, completely removed, from their booking in 2026 with code 49ers, that's 49ERS, at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com and use code 49ers at checkout to remove all service fees. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush.
So he's going edge rusher there. And, you know, Leonard Floyd, Jadeveon Clowney. But, man, the guy, there's a bunch of guys out there.
Cam Jordan,
who's a
love Cam Jordan.
He went to Cal, you know, so he's a Bay Area guy. But Joey Bosa just makes so much sense to me. I really think Joey Bosa makes a lot of sense. I think he can play inside, he can play outside, he's scheme versatile, he's smart. He had 12 quarterback hits last year. The Niners leader last year had six. He had five forced fumbles. I mean, that alone is probably worth $10 million. That kind of change of possession. So, or that kind of, you know, I mean, that kind of, you change possession. That's a big play in a football game. To do that five times in a game over the course of one single season, that's pretty damn good. So I'm all for Mama Bosa, you know, having Joey and Nick on the same team. I think it would be good for Nick. I think Nick needs a new challenge anyway. And having his brother there, who's also a technician, he's a really smart football player. One of the things that we don't talk about Nick Bosa, because he sounds kind of, you know, but you know,
Eeyore.
What?
He sounds like Eeyore.
He's smart. He's a really smart football player.
It's one of his best traits.
Yeah. And Joey's a really smart football player. So I would be okay with Joey Bosa and Leonard Floyd. But my takeaway from training camp or from rookie camp was that, man, they got a loaded defensive tackle room, but they may still be one edge rusher shy. If Nick and Mikel were not coming off ACLs, if Keon White had not been shot in the ankle, maybe they'd be deep enough. But with those factors factoring in, I think they need more depth. I think Joey Bosa, the price that you would pay for him in the offseason is a fraction of what you would pay for him, I think, if you tried to get him in the middle of the year. You know what I mean? In the middle of the year, it's like, oh, God, we need this guy. And then we got to trade picks, high picks, you know? It's just money at this point, and you got a lot of it. To me, I'm all about Joey.
I think the 49ers really like the approach of, okay, they built out their 90-man roster. And there are some intriguing guys getting snaps at the end position. Mikhail Kamara, one of my favorite, you know, priority free agents they brought in. Cam Sample, they paid a decent penny to. Like, they want to see what they have in-house. You know what Joey Bosa is. You know what Joey Bosa brings. Like, there's not a lot of questions. And I feel like when the 49ers, since the Shanahan regime has taken over, and this even goes back to 2019, they want to see what their guys can do. Now, if you get into the season or training camp and there's an injury or somebody's not up to par, that's whenever you bring in a safety off the street. That's whenever you bring in, you know, an edge rusher off the street. That's whenever you trade for somebody, you know, for the trade deadline. And all this salary cap space gives them room to do that. Now, they don't always. Last year at the trade deadline, it was pretty much crickets. Well, were they really making a title push with all those injuries? Turns out, no, they were not. And they kind of knew that, and they were smart not to do so. So I think that there's room where Joey Bosa could definitely help this team. Cam Jordan is one of my favorite football players of all time. That's who I want. But Bosa's skill set is much more in tune with the Niners' need. But I think they want to see how the guys progress in-house. Mikael Williams, you talked about the Keon White gunshot. But, like, I think they want to wait and see just a little bit with what they have before they sign.
I hear you. Romelo Hyde is really light, and he's a great speed rusher. I'm just not sure exactly where this is going to be, you know, is going to go. You know, how do they have enough? They may, you know, if let's just say this. Nick Bosa's had a lot of injuries, and if they lose Nick Bosa, they're really not in any better spot than they were last year. And I could see it being another rough year for their defense, especially their young DBs. If they can't put some pass rush up front, you know, I think that's a big part of it. All right, let's move on to the next topic. One of the big stories of the week is this whole back and forth going on between Jair Brown and Dante Whitner. And everybody's got different thoughts on it. Brown, I guess, has clapped back on Instagram, and he's got a Kodak Black, Project Blue. You ain't never seen your dog squeal. All this stuff. Do I even dare to ask you to make sense of it? Here, let me share the screen, and then we'll see what you think of this. We'll talk a little bit about this.
Dear Lord, this is going to get good.
Yeah. Yes. This should be very good. All right. Here we go. Let me see. Opening mouth and say I am Marine. All right.
There we go.
We'll turn. Yeah. Okay. But here it is, basically. Jair Brown.
Such a mess, man.
Yeah. What a mess. And then for those who missed it, you know, Dante Whitner doubled down on his rip of Jair Brown and said, "Hey, look, man, you know, he came at me." I don't know. This thing, I got a lot of thoughts on this thing, you know, and I think Dante went a little too far. I understand why people are frustrated with Jair Brown, but you know, the Jair Brown story is still like in the early stages. This is year three. And it's like, you know, Dante Whitner was a good player. Okay. Don't get me wrong. Dante Whitner was a better player than Jair Brown. Okay. And I get that, but you're also talking about a guy, and I looked at their numbers. You know, Dante Whitner didn't contribute to winning in Buffalo. They went 7-9. They went 7-9. They went 7-9. They went 6-10. They went 4-12. They didn't win. Okay, so it wasn't like he was on some winning team early in his career. And then if you look at the first 3 years of Dante's career, he had 2 picks. Jair Brown's got 5. Okay, so yes, Dante became a Pro Bowler in his 7th year, and then in his 9th year. And I get it. He's Jair Brown's struggling. I'm not saying he's a perfect player, but Jair Brown was the defensive MVP of the Penn State Nittany Lions. And this is, it's not like this guy's just been crap. 49 games in 3 years. He's got a higher interception rate than Dante Whitner. And he's got a guy played in a Super Bowl and picked off Mahomes in a Super Bowl. He's got an interception of Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl. So let's not pretend that this guy's just total garbage. Here's the other thing. Who helps the safeties the most? You know, it's the pass rush. If you get pass rush, then guys throw the ball before they want to. If guys throw the ball before they want to, some safety is lurking and he picks it off. So I don't know. I think Dante went too far. I think Jair Brown sought out Dante Whitner, and Whitner then just spilled that publicly and made Brown look really bad. And a lot of Niner fans are judging this so much about what their most recent thoughts are on Jair Brown. And there's so many Niner fans who are like, he's trash, man. He's trash. It's like, really? Is that where you're at? Is that where we're at? I mean, there's no nuance at all. If I had Greg Cosell in here talking about him, I just saw a video late in the year where Cosell was like, hey, yeah, he's a really good football player who's got some really great traits. Well, I realize he hasn't been a really good, productive, consistent football player. And he sounds a little delusional about his overall worth. And he'll figure that out when it's time to get paid, where he stacks in this thing. But here's the bottom line on this thing. All these people are upset. Why? Because a young defensive back is overconfident? Really? That's what you're mad at? Dude, I scouted football players. That's what you want. You want overconfident defensive backs. I want guys who think their shit don't stink. I want guys who think that, bring it on, I'm the baddest mother there is. I want guys who have tons of confidence. I don't care if it's delusional. I'd rather have delusional, awesome confidence than some guy who's like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I can hang with anybody. I don't know if I'm good enough. I'm just, yeah, I'm self-reflective, but I don't know, you know. I want that confidence. And, yeah, does he have too much confidence for the way he's played? Sure, but, I mean, you know, there's two topics here. There's the how is Jair Brown playing, and he's not playing great, but he's also a third-year player who's had a shitty defensive line in front of him who can't rush the passer. 20 sacks is fucking sucks, okay? This just in, 20 sacks is six less than the Jets. That's 32nd in the league. That's the worst in football. That's one of the worst sack totals in the history of the 49ers. So guess what? All these DBs back there are better than their stats. Stout's better. Lenore's better. Jair's better. Mustafa's better. They're all better than their stats. So don't tell me about stats. Talking about this guy. Has he gotten it done yet? Is he a premier guy? No, but he's been 4 years in the 3 years in the league. This is his fourth year. He's had four different coordinators. That's not an easy thing to do. He's also played big in some big games, including the Super Bowl. So I kind of thought like he was one of the only guys that played big in that Seattle game at times. I mean, he had a couple big hits in that game. This guy is big and physical and strong and athletic and talented. And it's like people want to just throw this guy out because he's struggled with no pass rush. And in playing out of position, he's more of an up on the line of scrimmage kind of a player. He struggles more in coverage. I'm not saying he's a superstar, but man, you know, Dante Whitner wasn't on a winning football team until he came to the Niners. And he had his first 3 years in the league. His teams were not winning. And he had two picks. This guy's first 3 years in the league, he's got 2 12-5 seasons. He's got a pick of Mahomes in the Super Bowl. He's got a better interception rate. He's got five picks. So I don't know, man. It's not like, yeah, you can go Dante knows. Okay, it's not about that. It's about a couple things. It's about you're gonna run the guy down for clicks. You know, there wasn't a game this weekend. So what are we talking about? It's not like this guy got burned for a touchdown last week and we can't help but ignore, you know, talk about it. There's no reason at all to bring this up. You know, I'll say this. I mean, you know, this could look really bad because Raheem Morris, a damn good defensive back coach,
Jerry Gray, baby.
And this is a young, this is a really talented young guy who's smart and tough. I'm telling you, man, I'm not saying this. I'm not like, Tig is those my favorite Niner or whatever, but you know, I see the struggles like all of you, but I just haven't signed off on him. Like he can't do it. You know, I've more signed off on Brendel as a run blocker than I've signed off on Jair Brown as a safety. And people like Brendel as a, you know, people like Brendel and think he's a good pass protector and a good run blocker. I don't see him. I mean, if he was a really good run blocker, wouldn't they have run on fourth and one?
No,
they didn't. Not. So it's like right there. So I don't think he's moving Byron Murphy or Leonard Williams anytime soon. So that's a major concern. I got a bigger concern about the Niners' interior offensive line's ability to handle the strength of Seattle's D line than I have in Mustafa, Siegel, and Brown. And what they have at safety. That's just me. Dante's totally entitled to do whatever he wants and say whatever he wants. It's not about what he knows. It's about betraying a trust. Somebody came to you and you betrayed that trust. Now, maybe it was worth it. I guess we'll find out if the Grit Code becomes some hot podcast. Maybe it was all worth it. But to me, it's like, are you there to, it's like, what do you want to be? You want to be some harsh critic in the peanut gallery with your podcast, or do you want to be a trusted agent of the organization and of the players? And it sounds like he wants to just, he's all in on the podcast, but he's also kind of putting Willis in a tough spot because Willis is part of the organization and he's sitting right on that podcast next to him. My guess is, you know, and Dante's one of my favorites as far as I'm not running Dante down. Dante was one of my favorites. I went to him all the time in post-game locker rooms. Him and Boone were the go-to guys in the Harbaugh era. I just think that I'm just noticing that he has fractured this relationship with the Niners and with Jair, and it's not going to be unfractured. And all I would say is I hope it's worth it for the Grit Code. Really? You're doing all that for the Grit Code for a podcast that, you know, I mean, maybe it's a good podcast. I haven't seen it, but I mean, it's not making a lot of money. I mean, he's not. Come on, you're crushing this guy for views on a podcast that's not making a lot of money. You're ruining a relationship with a team that you played for. I mean, don't think that he's persona non grata. There's no question. He's not invited. And then you got guys like Mustafa and the other players. Of course, they're going to back their guy.
I like that.
I don't know. I mean, it's two things. It's like, is he right? Well, yeah, Jair Brown struggled and has definitely not played up to his potential and definitely needs to get better. So if you just want to isolate it and say, that's it, there you go. But there's a bigger issue here in that he betrayed a trust and he fractured the relationship. And what do I care about that? But at least I'm noticing that. Give me your thought on it. And I don't know what, you know, I don't know what Tig is saying here, you know, as far as his clap back at Dante, but whatever.
It's a mess, man, because you look at what Jair Brown did his rookie year with Steve Wilks was the DC, one of the best DB coaches in the NFL and has been for decades. He was incredible as a rookie. You talked about the interception in the Super Bowl. It was like, holy cow, this guy is somebody that you build around. He's taken steps back-to-back years. Gave up the most touchdowns in coverage last year of any 49ers player. He had one of the highest missed tackle rates. And my problem is it's just consistency, whether it's coverage or support in the run game. I don't see that. I think he's the worst tackler that the 49ers have on the defense as a whole.
He's not a rapper.
He looks at the ground when he hits a lot of times. Like he'll throw a shoulder. He doesn't bring his arms. But the talent is there. And the 49ers are betting on Jerry Gray, new DB coach, you know, freaking hook 'em, baby, one of the best ever to do it, college and NFL level. Can you return that play that you saw from Jair his rookie year whenever you had quality DB coaching? That's what they're betting on. And I do think that this team is still really high on Marquise Siegel. And so,
no doubt,
I wish they would have drafted a safety. I really, really do. But this front office does not value the safety position at all. Like John Lynch could get up there and make a joke about how safety is a premium position and laugh and all that stuff. They just don't address safety at all. And you go back to when they added Tayshaun Gibson. That was a week before the season they signed him off the street. So for some reason, you're not seeing the progressing, because Jair Brown was one of the worst players at training camp last year. You were there, consistently terrible. Can he turn it around? Is this enough fire? I hope so. And I like that the players are coming to bat for him. I love that.
I
don't know. I'm not out on Jair, but the consistency is just not there. And for him to say he's a Pro Bowl level guy, I like the confidence. It's back-to-back really bad years of play. Consistently bad years of play.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. People have, you know, Jair Brown has an interception in the Super Bowl, and people are like, he sucks. Pearsall has played 14 games and played 20 games and missed 14.
Yeah.
And yeah. People are like, he's awesome. Man, it's like, I don't get it. Whatever. Hey, one other topic here that I want to hit before we take a quick time out for a little Prize Picks lineup. Ooh. This is new too. And this is kind of this is a good topic here. Matt Maiocco, once again, had a big day today. Talked a little bit about the Bosa thing. But then he also had another video here. And this one is maybe the more newsworthy item. We probably could have started the pod. We could have titled the stream tonight around this. I'll share the screen and we'll play this little video, this little ditty from Maiocco. He says, Mac Jones may be here a while. And this is an interesting take and one that I'm really excited about. Here we go. Maiocco on Mac Jones. It'd be better if you could hear Maiocco. I took down the music on the Jair Brown video, and there it is. Okay, here we go. Take two, Matt Maiocco.
Although, I must say, I'm not 100% convinced that Mac Jones will be signing somewhere else at the end of this season. I think there's remains a decent chance that Mac Jones is back with the 49ers as kind of a long-term backup player, because I'm not totally convinced that a team would be willing to pay him starters money even in 2027. Sounds like there wasn't much discussion at all as far as trading. And there will be teams, obviously, that will be looking for quarterbacks a year from now, whether in the draft where it's supposed to be. At least the early thought is that it'll be a better draft for quarterbacks next year. And teams might be looking for that placeholder kind of guy, that Kirk Cousins type of player who can fit in, be a starter if needed, while a team drafts a guy to eventually take over.
It's an interesting idea. Basically, you know, I think it has been kind of a foregone conclusion that at the end of the 2026 campaign, that Mac Jones is going to ride off into the sunset and the 49ers will get some kind of compensatory selection in the 27 draft to reflect that departure, but that he's taken off. It's going to be, this is it. I've heard a lot of people say definitively, this is Mac Jones's final year with the Niners. I'm going to throw out a name, Don Strock. Do you remember Don Strock? Don Strock was Dan Marino's backup, but he wasn't Dan Marino's backup for a day. He was like Dan Marino's backup for like life, right? I mean, guys, I remember back then, it's like that you had one starter, you had a backup, and the backup like was stayed as your backup. It's unique in today's NFL to have a backup that like sticks around. And the Niners also have Curtis Rourke. We're going to talk about him for a second at some point. And also Adrian Martinez, who they also like. And they picked him up now two times. He's on his second stint. But what do you think of the concept of that? When I watch Mac Jones, John, I feel like it sounds corny, okay? But it feels like Mac Jones is meant to play for Kyle Shanahan. But I don't know. I also kind of feel like Mac Jones has a higher calling than to be Brock Purdy's caddy for the rest of his life. And I think Mac Jones could win a Super Bowl. I'm a believer of that. I saw a list of quarterback rankings earlier this week, and I thought to myself, as I'm looking at this list, Mac Jones is better than everybody like between 20 and 32. I mean, Mac Jones is better than easily 10 quarterbacks that are starting in the NFL right freaking now. Agreed. I'd rather have Mac Jones than several of these guys. So there you go. I mean, is it possible? Is there a cap, you know, somehow gymnastics that could happen that could make it where Mac's a winner and the Niners are winners and he's not here for 2 years, but here for 7 years, something like that, 5 years. I mean, I think I've never, what he did last year, I've never seen anybody do. He asserted leadership on a team that already had a young leader without threatening the leader at all.
Yeah, that was
awesome.
And
yet everybody was all in on him, from the coaches to the fans to the, that was the smoothest quarterback thing I'd almost ever seen. It was amazing. Everybody loved him. The media loved him. The other players in the room love him. When he walks in the room, it's like Elvis has entered the building, dude. It's like he's a crack up. He is legitimately, when you see Mac Jones, you can't help but smile. I love the guy. I seriously love talking to the guy. I love watching him play. He's deadly accurate. He processes what he sees. He sounds kind of like a doofus. Sorry, Mac. But you know what? He's smart as hell. He's football genius. He's right there with Brock Purdy. He's really, really smart. He makes good decisions. I'm a Mac Jones fan. I love Brock Purdy. Everybody knows that. But if Brock Purdy wasn't the Niners quarterback, I could have a bunch of different guys around the league. I'd probably take Mac Jones. I like Mac Jones. I believe in Mac Jones. I think they can win with Mac Jones if they had the good enough talent around him. I want him to stick around long term. I hope Mayoko's right. What do you think of the report?
Well, you look at Mac. He's making $3.5 million a year right now. That's his average salary. The highest paid backup in the NFL that's not on a rookie contract is Davis Mills at $7 million per year. You look at what Malik Willis just got, in $22 million per year. I think there are several teams that would prefer Mac Jones to Malik Willis. Maybe the ceiling's not there with, you know, the mobility and the arm strength and all that stuff. But it would take Mac Jones leaving a lot of money on the table to sign long-term here. And I think Kyle Shanahan would love it. You know, you heard rumors all offseason about, you know, trading Mac Jones, trading Mac Jones, trading Mac Jones. But Kyle said, if we don't get a first, we're not even entering into that conversation. So how much money would Mac Jones be willing to leave on the table? I don't know, man. Somebody's going to offer him $15 to $20 million and say, this is a guy that knows his role. He's not going to overstep a rookie quarterback that if they draft him as that bridge guy. I love the idea. I just don't see it in today's NFL cap structure.
Man, I wish it could happen. I wish it could happen. Who were you intrigued by when looking at some of the highlights from minicamp, from rookie minicamp? Is there any either story or clip or anything that you saw that makes you go, hey, you know what? I can't wait to see this guy.
Yeah, I liked the undrafted free agent, Kamara. Like I really thought Mikel Kamara, you know, back good to this end position. I had a 6th round grade on him. The Niners got him as a priority free agent. Somebody that fits kind of, you know, he's not that ultimate speed guy that they need. But, you know, you're hoping Romello goes into that and the burst there is incredible. But it's D-line. That was the first position I ever coached. So, like, I am a little biased, obviously. I always want to see, you know, how the guys come out of their stance and what that looks like and all that. And Mikel Kamara, like, that is a guy that I just really, really want to see what he can do, because I think there's room there, right? And I think the 49ers, back to your idea of signing Bosa or another free agent, they want to see what they have in-house. And this 2026 49ers roster is way more competitive than anything we have seen in the past 2 seasons for the 49ers. It's going to be damn hard to make the 53-man roster, Larry. Good players are going to get cut. People are going to be pissed. Whatever that cut roster. Last year, we knew the 53-man roster by this point. There was really nothing up for debate. This year, it's going to be murderer's row out there, man.
Who's your starter at left guard? Boone and Cone and I got into this. I said Robert Jones. Boone said Connor Colby. I think Grant might have agreed with him, Connor Colby. I think Robert Jones, only because a scouting buddy of mine has said to me, dude, Robert Jones, if the neck's right, and this guy says he thinks the neck is right, is, you know, a powerful presence at left guard. 325 pounds, long arms. He thought that was one of the more underrated line of scrimmage pickups that any team had, was Robert Jones to the Niners, if the neck is all right.
Yeah, so. I think they paid him. He got paid twice the guaranteed and twice the structure they gave Ben Bartsch last year to start. I think Connor Colby having those seven games experience is huge. He fits. Carver Willis, I understand why the Niners took him. He is raw, and that pass protection is a problem. But the run game, like, you see it, and it's like, oh, hell yeah. But I think it's going to take a little while to transition down. So I don't think Carver Willis, and I could be wrong here, we got to see how he transitions. He's never played inside. So not only is he transitioning, but he has to develop pass pro anchor. Waist bender, gets in problem, plays way too high. There's a lot there. I think eventually they want it to be Carver Willis, but I'm betting Robert Jones if he's healthy.
All right, everybody hit like and subscribe. We're 47 minutes in. We're only going to go for another 10 minutes or so, but we are going to do our Prize Picks lineup, and we're going to do it right here. The Krug Show brought to you by Prize Picks. We'll move Johnny and I in the corner. And,
nobody puts baby in a corner.
Nobody puts John Chapman in the corner. We'll move Prize Picks in there. There you go. And then we'll also come over here and change the format so you guys can see the advertisement and the whole deal. It's just very, very professional here on the Krug Show. If I could find it, it would even be better. And there we go. Hey, look at that. Prize Picks.
I like this.
Look at that. All right. So we're going to go with NFL futures. And there's a bunch of them here. Myles Garrett, Puka Nacua, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Dak Prescott. I can also type in 49ers if you want to see some 49er props on the season.
Dude, I am the biggest under better ever on season totals. Like
on like win totals on like the total Niners stats, to win 8.5 or
even these stats. Okay. Like I almost whoever the is the better. Highest, I take the unders. Well, just because you don't know with injuries, you know, suspensions, whatever, like you just never know. And so that's why like I'm just really, really big. I'm an under better on season long stuff pretty consistently. Yeah, so I'm just throwing that out there right now, Larry. I'm just letting you know my bias.
I hear you. I know. I think it's smart. And here's why. Because these numbers are projected on a full season, and the injury factor is like 100%. So I'll say this one. I love this one under. Derrick Henry, under 1274.5 rush yards. I just think that, you know, it's going to be more of a shared backfield going forward. He's an older player. He's going to get more injuries. He's a collision guy. He runs a lot of collisions. I think those guys age poorly, so I like him under. I also think I like less on Drake May. The Patriots played a very favorable schedule and didn't really get their comeuppance like the Niners until the playoffs, and ultimately it was the Super Bowl for Drake May. And I just think that he was a little bit of a magic carpet ride last year. Now you don't have Stephon Diggs. I don't know if they're going to get AJ Brown, and who knows how he plays. So I'm going to go less on Drake May. The one that I like more is I like Ashton Jeanty. You know,
that's low.
950.5 rush yards. I think he's a 1,000-yard back. Now I know there's other guys there. They just drafted the Arkansas back, who's got some talent for sure. But I still think Jeanty is gonna have their improved offensive line. It's just that overall, I think the Raiders are going in the right direction.
He had 975 last year, and he was terrible, and they didn't have a line or a quarterback.
Right. So I mean, for him to go 951 this year is hardly ridiculous. All right. So this is what we'll do. We'll put $5 on it because I don't want to go through the cash too fast. And we'll submit our lineup, and it takes 30 seconds or so. And then there it is. And we've submitted the lineup, and you can view the lineup by clicking this button. We will. We've got a 3-pick power play. $5 pays us 30 if we win. We have Derrick Henry, 1,274 rush yards or less. We have Drake May, 3,649.5 pass yards or less. Ashton Gentry's got to rush for 951 yards. If they three things all happen, our $5 turns into 30. Thank you to Prize Picks for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. And we're big fans of Prize Picks. Great sponsor, and we appreciate them. We'll move this off the screen and away we go. A couple other notes before we finish up with our deal here, our stream is thank you to our other sponsors. The Krug Show, of course, brought to you by Pig in a Pickle, title sponsor of the Krug Show, also Prize Picks. But we're also brought to you by Alamar Marina, alamarmarina.net. Float while you dine in the Sacramento River. They're at 5999 Garden Highway. Get the shrimp tacos. Go see Brandon, the owner up there. Great guy. They're open Wednesday through Sunday, closed on Monday and Tuesday. Check out the Alamar. Float while you dine on the Sacramento River. It's a great spot. Also, when I buy a car, I go to Novato Chevrolet. Go see David Corral at Novato Chevrolet, top car dealership by Carfax, family-owned, Bay Area EV headquarters, friendly staff, huge selection, great financing, options available. Awesome company. When I buy a Chevrolet, I buy it from David Corral at Novato Chevrolet. And thank you to Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles, the great Anthony Catania. If you buy a sports collectible from him, he's going to send it to wherever you want to send it for free. If you're a Krug Show fan, free shipping for all Krug Show fans, 831-521-5264. And thank you to the people that have already reached out to Anthony, because I know Anthony's gotten back to me this week saying a bunch of people have ordered things, and he just wanted to say, hey, man, thanks to the Krug Show Army for supporting the sponsors. So very cool. Very cool. All right. Breakout players, Matt Barrows and Vic Tafer had a list of their breakout players for this year. And their number one breakout player. Did you see the article?
I did not. No.
Okay, so this will be good.
Was it Jordan James?
It was.
I think I saw like a snippet of it.
Okay. So Jordan James was number one. Then they have Romello Height, number two, Deshaun Stribling, number three. It's draft heavy. Number four, Connor Colby. Number five, Carver Willis. Number six, Nick Martin. Number seven, Kalon Black. Number eight, Jacob Cowing. Number nine, Jordan Watkins. Number 10, Jaden Duggar. And I'm really got to get your thoughts on him, too, because he is so intriguing. And when you look at that length and that speed, the 125 tackles at Louisiana this year, the fact that he looks like an edge rusher in the sub package, he's got length for days, athleticism, he's young. Had all that production at Louisiana with those traits, really impressive. To me, he could be a boomer bust guy, but there's bust potential too, because his film is pretty all over the place. But if I said to you, it's funny, the guy that I'm thinking of as the breakout player is not even in their top 10, which makes me wonder if maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm doubting myself, but you know, I'm going to stick with it. Give me a breakout player, and then I'll tell you who I'm thinking of.
My three that I would go with is Marquise Siegel. I really believe in the kid. I really believe in the kid.
4.37 speed, yeah. Converted corner. Didn't have great metrics as a pass defender last year, but I said, they had terrible.
He was always there. Rush. He just didn't make plays. Like, he was where he was supposed to be. But yeah, I'm a big Marquise Siegel guy. I'm going to go Jake Tonchus. I think like this dude is going to get so much playing time. He was elite when Kittle was out. I really want Shanahan to find a way to allow Tonchus and Kittle to cohabitate whenever they're both healthy. I think that could just add something to the 49ers offense. And then I'm huge on Jordan James. I think he is going to have a great, great year. Now, I think it's going to be a little bit of a downturn from Christian McCaffrey just because he led the NFL in touches. It's his third time doing that. Every single time he's done that in the past, the following year did not go well. I hope he bucks that trend. But I'm a big believer in Jordan James. And you go back to that Seattle playoff game, which was terrible. The entire offense was basically two guys, Brock Purdy playing by himself and Jordan James in the limited touches he had. I think those would be the three that come to mind for me that I'm just like, man, stock up on these guys.
I'm going to give you one that I'm really, really confident in. And I just really think that this is the right guy in the right time, for the right team. I can't believe that they were able to get this guy. And I think they're going to catch lightning in a bottle. I think one of the most underrated pickups for the 49ers of this offseason was signing Christian Kirk. Christian Kirk had a great playoff game. Christian Kirk played at Texas A&M. He never had good quarterback play. Came into the league with Arizona. His quarterback was Josh Rosen. Then he went to Jacksonville, signed a big money deal. He got very young Trevor Lawrence. He has never played with a quarterback like Brock Purdy who can put it on your hands, who can throw with anticipation, where if you can separate, he can put it on your hands down the field, you know. And Kirk, I think, is going to be dynamic. I think he can help them as a return man. I think he's their best option in the return game. But I think Christian Kirk's going to help them from scrimmage. And I would not be surprised if Christian Kirk has a much more significant role than anybody really believes. There's been so much talk about Stribling, so much talk about Evans. But Christian Kirk, I think, is going to be a player for the Niners. I really do believe that. The other two guys that really opened my eyes in the rookie minicamp were Will Pauling and Wesley Grimes. You know, Pauling is a slot receiver, but he's got 42-inch vertical, 37-inch or a 42-inch vertical, 4.37 40. So he's got good speed. He scored 6 touchdowns last year, and then he improved his ball skills. He had a bunch of drops at Wisconsin, only had 2 last year at Notre Dame, and he's got some downfield playmaking ability. And he showed really nice movement ability. Wesley Grimes is also moves really well. I mean, really well. For a guy who has got good size and is kind of tough. So those two receivers and those 3 receivers, Kirk.
It's going to be hard. It's a tough ass wide receiver room. Oh, Larry.
The competition is going to be fierce.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be fierce. Yeah.
Whoever comes out of that room, like if they make this 53, just know this is a guy, because you're going to be beating out Jordan Watkins, Jacob Cowing, Burgeon, guys who have been around for a while. If one of those undrafted guys steps up and lays claim to that number 6 wide receiver spot, I'm telling you right now, that maybe not for this year because it's so crowded, but gosh, man, the competition this year all across this depth chart, besides tight end and safety, it's pretty damn elite. Like, this is a deep roster, and that is fun going into training camp. I'm excited about this, Larry, because we're going to be going back and forth on these players for the next couple months, and I'm excited. Wednesday, the new time slot? Dude, great stuff,
seriously,
Larry.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. 2 more guys I'm going to give you. This guy, he needed to redo his body. You know, sometimes this happens as well, right? You get that guy, and then he needs to gain a step. I mean, that was kind of like Brock Purdy. He needed to gain a little arm strength. He did. And it was like Tatum Bethune. He needed to gain a step and kind of do his body. He did. And look, he had a 16 tackle game last year, and he was faster and more instinctive and kind of flowed towards the ball better. This year, you know, every year you see guys that kind of change their body. The one guy who was really noticeable at the minicamp was Drake Nugent. And I know people, they got Brendel, they signed Brett Toth, they have Nick Sakel, they've got Carver Willis, who I think is probably going to be the long-term answer at center. I really do believe that. But Drake Nugent put on a lot of good upper body weight, and he still looks really quick. He's smart. He's tough. If he starts moving people a little bit with, you know, using those arms a little bit, he looked a whole lot stronger. He put on a lot of good weight, and that's a pretty good football player who just needed to get stronger. So, really excited about him. I think he's going to be a guy that is going to, I don't know if he's going to make the team, but he's going to compete like crazy for that spot. And then your guy, Mikhail Kamara, you know what? It's funny. When you draft awesome athletes, you expect to see at the minicamp like them really pop, because you're like, oh man, this guy's a freaky athlete. And the freaky athlete guys do typically pop in OTAs and in this rookie minicamp setting. Mikhail Kamara is not that, right? He's 6 feet. He's 260. Everybody says he's too this, he's too that. His arms are too short. He's too short. He doesn't have stature. He doesn't have that. There's a million different things of why he's not good and why he went undrafted. But then you remember he was damn good on Indiana, and they won the national championship, and he blocked a punt, and he's a special teams maven, and he's a unbelievably quick guy, and he has multiple speeds. He's got like a speed for the 40. He's got a much faster speed when he's attacking the quarterback. He looked quick, and he looked explosive, and he looked really comfortable. There was nothing about him, John, that where you were like, wow, fish out of water. This is a college athlete on an NFL field with NFL athletes. He does not belong. No, he absolutely did belong. And that actually is huge because I thought there was a very good chance he would look like he didn't belong. And then it's like, well, you know what? He was good at Indiana, but maybe he's just, that's where he tops out.
I remember feeling that way about, was it Josh Williams, the running back, the first training camp. He kept pushing other players ahead of him in drills because he didn't want to go. And I was just like, dude, this ain't it. I was like, who's this little number 22 guy? I was like, oh, it's Matt Breida. Who's Matt Breida? Anyway, but yeah, you see it when they belong. And I'm excited once the pads come on, that helps out a lot. But yeah, you gain a lot from just getting an eye on these players and just seeing what it is, the coach's response to the players. It's a fun draft class, all in all. The rookies, yeah, a lot of reaches, but there's a lot of good fits too, and a lot of damn good athletes. So excited to see how it's going to pan out this year.
Brandon Ayuk photographed with his cash and watches and stuff. David Bakhtiari went and said, hey, man, I'm concerned about this guy. Yeah. It looks like he's headed towards a fall. It doesn't look good. God, it makes you think, man, that money's going to dry up. And then what's going to happen to you? His body's broken. It just seems, I don't know, man. What did you think of that post?
I hate it, man. You know, like, obviously he's not going to ever contribute for the 49ers again. And, you know, just as a former coach or just human being, you care about people. Like I get stuck in this, man. Screw this guy. He screwed over his team. He screwed over the fans. He screwed over everybody. And that's true. But yeah, once you get to this area, it's just, man, you know, what unites us is greater than what divides us. And I just hope as a human being, there's somebody in his life. Yeah, TJ Houshmandzadeh, his wide receiver coach, is like, yeah, this guy, you stay away from him. And so I just hope he gets some help, you know, but he's rich. He can afford it. I know life's bigger than that, but hope the best for him.
Yeah, no, I hear you. All right, let's hit a couple of these supers and we'll bolt. We got this one from Stefan Niners. Top two 2026 away games you recommend going to. Yeah, and my kind of final thought on that as well. What are you looking for tomorrow as far as the schedule release outside of your traveling and that kind of thing? Is there something that you're looking for?
Not back-to-back travel. That's a killer. Like that is hard as hell on the body. And so, you know, just spacing it out correctly, especially those East Coast trips, which you don't have a lot of them because you've got two international games. But you know, if you're asking my top two games to go to this year, Dallas Cowboys is going to be the largest event we've ever had. I fully expect over 800 people, being at, you know, we've rented out Texas Live right in front of the stadium. It's going to be incredible. And then, man, shoot, Atlanta or Kansas City. So wherever you're at, that would be number two. Atlanta, we've been there in the past, and it's just such a good time. That city's a really good time.
You know what? I think I'm going to have to try to make my way to Atlanta. My daughter lives in Atlanta. And,
my God, come on, man.
And, you know, she's going to school there, so I got to.
That stadium's a good time. They did a damn good job there.
Hopefully that Atlanta game is scheduled in a time that's nice and convenient. We got this one from, what does it say?
Daryl.
Daryl says, member for 44 months. Way to go, Daryl.
Thank you, Daryl.
Always give a little clap. Stefan Niners says, would you do Stribling and Pearsall for A.J. Brown? No. I don't think I would. But I would do Renardo or Pearsall in a pick, if I could do that. I kind of wonder how they feel about those two guys. Steven Draper, Dinkins will surprise everyone. Stud.
They need him. That room is light. That room is light.
It really is. It absolutely is. All right. John, awesome stream. I'm loving our new spot. I'll give you the final word as we bolt for the door. One of the articles I read today on Niners Web Zone was from Alex Kay. It was kind of a article that was linked from Bleacher Report, and he had one fatal flaw for every Super Bowl contender, and the Niners' fatal flaw again, the offensive line. Is the offensive line their fatal flaw?
It's rough whenever the center point of your offense with Jake Brindle is such a poor run blocker and you have a run design scheme. I do think that they're going to be very pass heavy. You look at all the wide receivers they've added. I think it's going to be a very pass-centric offense this year, which I think would be fun. I'm excited to see what Shanahan can do that. And I do think that this roster, like, this would be my final thought. This team is built for now. It's the way you started the show, and I agree. It's an old, aging roster, and you even added more old, aging players. But it's a consistent roster. And that is going to be the biggest difference between last year and this year, where you had so many young guys playing, and it was boom or bust all the time. If you can get some consistent play from a lot of these new additions, Dre Greenlaw, Mike Evans, Kirk, I mean, you could just keep going. Like, Robert Jones, if you get some good, consistent left guard play, watch out. You were, a couple quarters away from being home field advantage throughout the playoffs last year with all those injuries, without the depth. This is a much better team. There should be a lot of optimism if you're a 49ers fan right now, and you should be excited. And, man, Larry, I appreciate you and just, you know, bringing it all the freaking time. And I'm learning throughout these shows. And it is a fun offseason. You should be enjoying this. You should be excited about the season coming up.
I am. I absolutely am. And I feel like I want to see the Niners get aggressive, as I said, off the outset. I want to see that Nick Bosa. I want to see maybe one more defensive back. I want to see maybe a veteran tight end to take some pressure off George. I don't want to see that inherent sadness of George getting re-injured because he rushed back too fast. I wouldn't mind a little brother combination of, like, hey, maybe Ayuk for Luke McCaffrey at the cutdown, maybe Joey and Nick. You get the McCaffrey brothers and the Bosa brothers. Let's get this done. That's going to do it for tonight. Great stream. Thanks to Johnny. I'm back tomorrow morning. Got a busy day tomorrow. 8:50, I'll be on KMBR with Murph and Marcus talking Niners and schedule release. 5 p.m., Damon, Bruce, and I are going to do a little schedule release live stream when it comes out. And then 9 o'clock tomorrow night, Sterling Bennett and I from 95.7 The Game are going to stream. Sterling's always good. We missed a couple weeks, but we're going to get back on the beam. Friday, Chase Sr. will be in the house as well. Saturday, the coach is going to stop by, and we're fired up. We're getting, you know, this is the time of year when it gets from the draft. If you can get from May to camp, man, you really, the rest of the year is pretty easy. But for guys like us who grind and look for stuff, I know you don't just put out a bunch of garbage in these 2 months. It's more challenging to put out good content, but it's there. It's absolutely there. And that's our challenge, to put out good content on a daily basis. And we will be up to the challenge. Johnny, awesome stuff, man. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks to the rest of you guys. Peace. Yeah, never met a man I've been scared of. Careful.